No better way to wrap up Pride Month for 2022 than with a little special episode of Unwrapped. We're thrilled that Miranda had the opportunity to interview her amazing daughter, Milan Kane, and talk specifically about her experiences, coming out, the continuing journey, the trials and tribulations, the personal transformation, and the ultimate sense of freedom. So, over to you, Miranda.
So, Milzo, welcome.
Hiya. Thanks for having me.
How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm okay. I'm excited, nervous. But
are you?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to chatting.
Well, first of all, I want to say a massive thank you. And I'm thrilled and proud because, one, I hope, you know, and I've talked to you before about at some point, I'd love you to do a full episode for Unwrapped, and it felt like Pride Month, never a better opportunity for us to do just a little Pride special, let's say. And then I go, oh, so we get to include my very special child as part of our podcast series. So here we are.
Yeah, here we are. I'm excited. It'll be good.
And you've got your Pride hat on, so the listeners don't get the benefit of seeing that. But yes, you look amazing as ever.
Thanks.
So welcome. So in this sort of short version, I've got a few questions. And obviously, this is all about our celebration and support of Pride Month. And it's funny because actually, you know, you and I have lots of conversations around this topic. And part of me sort of feels resistant to kind of getting involved in these. It's like Black History Month, and you know, there's a bit of a wrangle about, well, why is it just a month? Why, you know, and seeing lots of organizations who have something to say on the topic in this given month because it's in some sort of marketing schedule, but kind of there's this deafening silence the rest of the year. So yeah, what are your observations around that? Do you see that?
Oh, definitely. I mean, you see the first thing, 1st of June every single year, every company has then got a rainbow logo. And there, you know, there are a lot of companies that you actually find out, especially in America and stuff, they donate to a lot of anti-LGBTQ+ companies and like organizations. But they, you know, put on the front for Pride Month. Fly the rainbow flag and say, hey, you know, we're here for the gays, and then actually what they're doing in the background is the complete opposite. And I do think, yeah, you know, people go, well, what do you need a whole month for? And it's, you know, it's because it's taken so long to get to even this point. And you know, you see there are places all around the world that it's still not okay. And I think until we get to a point where globally, we are accepting of everybody's differences, whether that's, you know, it doesn't matter, race, sexuality, gender, even things like you have International Women's Day. There's no International Men's Day because the world revolves around the white man. So, and it has done for a long time. So I think until there is complete equality, we will continue to have these months and celebratory days to just raise awareness and show, you know, what we are here. And in this case, we're here and we're queer. And yeah, I think it's an important thing still now. But I think, yeah, like you said, especially with companies and changing their logos to rainbows, that gets me every year.
Well, and you're right. And I think it's why, whilst I battle with this resistance that says, because it shouldn't be just a month, not if then we're going to have 11 months of silence. And it's also about what we, you know, we talk a lot in our business around intent to action. And I kind of go, listen, it's all very well if you come out in support of communities on any given month, as long as the experience that people have in your business day to day are congruent with that. And to your point, that's often the disconnect, right? So the flag on the website, you know, it is one thing, but actually people are having a really shitty experience day to day in the organization. So I love that, and that's why I kind of go, yeah, want to come out and you know, support Pride Month for that reason, mm-hmm. but also want the world to know. But for us, you know, this is a topic, this is something that, you know, we talk about and we navigate those, as you said, global challenges on a day-to-day basis. And so we're here. So I guess my the first thing would be for, you know, for the benefit of the listeners, like, introduce yourself.
I'm Millie, or, well, I'm actually Milan, but most people know me as Millie. Feel free to call me whichever, I don't really mind. I go by she, they pronouns, and probably I'll get into a bit more around what that means to me a bit later, maybe, but I go by she, they pronouns. My sexuality, I'm not 100% sure yet. I will never, ever write anything off because I don't know what the future holds. I don't know who I'm going to meet. It is, you know, in general, more about the person themselves, as opposed to, you know, what their gender is or what genitalia they have. Like, it's not, I'm not exclusive in that sense. I think it's a tough one. I mean, at the moment, I only date girls and women. So yeah, I think it's more, I'll look at a person, and if I find them attractive, I find them attractive. If I don't, I don't. So yeah, I'm still on my journey. It wasn't that long ago that I came out. So I'm still finding my feet in terms of dating. I've never been a serial dater anyway.
Yeah.
But even less so now that I'm, you know, men are a lot easier to just date. You know, if you want to date a man, I could have a date tonight if I wanted one.
Yeah.
But I'm slightly pickier with women than I was with men. So yeah.
So you're taking lessons learned previously.
Yeah.
And deploying them in your new world. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
So you talked about your journey since you came out. So when did you come out?
I came out September 2020, which, that's crazy that that's a year and a half ago. It feels like ages ago, but also feels like yesterday.
Yeah.
So I remember the day I came out. It was actually the 4th of September. So I remember the anniversary. So that year, before COVID started, that new year, from 2019 to 2020, I was out with my friends, two of my best friends, and I'd said to them, look, you know, all my friends have known from quite a young age that I was bi-curious. And I always said, you know, I said, oh, you know, I'll be with a girl, I'll kiss a girl, you know, kind of, that was it. But I never acted on that. And I finally said to them that new year that I felt like I was ready to actually try and date girls and try and, you know, explore other avenues, because being with boys, that just, it didn't do it for me. You know, it just wasn't exciting. It was so heteronormative, and that is the only reason I did that for so long. I'd said to them, I'm gonna start dating girls, you know, see how it goes. I'm not sure, I might do it and actually go, nope, it's not for me. They were obviously super happy for me. Then COVID hit, which meant there was no, like, dating opportunities, really.
Nothing happening for anyone.
No, exactly. Even people who were sure of what they want. I was trying to figure out, you know, what I was going to do. We got through the first lockdown, and then it was about August of 2020 that I went on dating apps, which is not my preference when it comes to meeting people, but that was the only way at that time, especially, I was going to have the chance of meeting anybody. And I went on my first date with a girl, and it completely changed the game. Honestly, when I tell you, you know, you go on dates and sometimes you sit at a date and you go, yeah, this isn't going anywhere. And sometimes you sit on a date and you go, do you know what? There's a spark. There's that sexual tension and the chemistry between you. But this first date was like nothing like I had ever, I can't even describe it, nothing like I'd ever felt before. And straight away after that, I just went, yeah, this is it. Yeah. This is how I'm supposed to feel. This is what I've been missing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, what the fuck? Why did I wait so long? Honestly, I was so annoyed with myself.
Oh.
Yeah, proper dull moment. But yeah, you know, and it was, and I'd straight away set and I went, I know that goals are for me. Yes. And yeah. I was like, I'm going to tell my family. And I had no worries when it came to coming out to any of my family about how they would react, which I always say to people, I'm so blessed that I was in a safe space, and I knew that, you know, it wasn't going to be, well, you know, even some people can be a bit like, well, like, that's okay, we don't really care, but we don't want to see it. And you go, I knew I wouldn't have any of that, right? I knew it would be absolutely fine. So I'd said to my best friend Elise, I'd said, look, I think let's go over to my mum's house and we'll go and tell, you know, her and my sister. And we got in the car and the sun was out and it, you know, it was good vibes in the car. And I was like, oh, shitting myself, but also good vibes. And we were in the car and Elise's music was on shuffle. And as we were kind of, I think we weren't even too far away, Diana Ross Coming Out came on. And we just both had this moment. We looked at each other and I was like, okay, it's going to be good. It's good. It's a good sign. Got to your house. The first thing my sister said was, what are you wearing? You look like a lesbian. So I nervously walked out. And yeah, it's one of those moments. I thought, oh, okay then. I told you both. The emotion just came straight out. I just burst into tears. I wasn't sad. It was just, I built it up so much.
Yeah.
That it was just adrenaline made me cry.
Yeah.
I think it was quite funny actually, because I think the first thing you both said to me when I said, can I talk to you, was, oh God, you're not pregnant, are you? And I said, don't worry, actually, it's quite the opposite. So yeah, that was my kind of coming out. That was the most official bit. I think the rest of my family, I just sent them a text because I didn't want to make it a thing. It doesn't need to be a massive thing. You know, like I said earlier about, hopefully when there's equality in the world, there will be no one will have to come out. You know, no one ever comes out as straight, do they? So, you know, we shouldn't have to come out as gay either, but that's how it is. So yeah, that was 18 months ago, which feels actually probably a bit more than that now, actually. Yeah. But yeah, almost 2 years ago, which feels crazy.
But I remember actually feeling like I might be stealing, sort of to detracting from your thunder in terms of this huge, so, you know, this sort of sharing this announcement, because I think I think it's fair to say I wasn't surprised.
Not many people were.
No.
Not many people were.
Yeah, and you're right. It was just never going to be a thing in our family, other than a positive thing that you were, you know, embarking on a journey of seeking fulfillment. And that was amazing. But yeah, I guess I sort of had my thoughts and maybe always suspicions around that for some time. Yeah. And I don't know if you remember when you were younger and you used to go out, what I used to ask you.
Yeah, I'd go clubbing and, I'd appear from my bedroom very hungover the next morning. And you'd say to me, how was your night? I'd say, good. And you'd say, kiss any boys? I'd say, no. And you said, any girls? And you'd say that every time near enough. Yeah. And everyone's like, no, mum, no way. Yeah. And that was my internalised homophobia. You know, get my back up when anyone would make comments like that to me, which I did from a very young age.
So what do you think then, because you've articulated very clearly, you didn't have fear around, you know, family response, and, you know, not everyone will know, but, you know, it's not anything we ever make a secret of. We have gay people in our family and in our closest friendship groups. And so, yeah, I think, you know, you articulated that there wasn't a fear around sharing with your sort of, you know, nearest and dearest. So what do you think, if anything, held you back from sharing, you know, with the wider world, let's say?
So what it is, and I know exactly what it is, it was me, myself, and I, right? It was, so if I go back to when I was really young, I was always, so primary school, I was a proper tomboy. I was one of the boys, played football with all the boys, got muddy, climbed trees. You know, I don't know, me and my mates on the street, we would find pet snails and things like that. That was, you know, yeah. I was never massively into like Barbies. You know, I had them, but they weren't, I don't think about that as my childhood. It was more playing outside, you know, doing all of that sort of stuff. And that was fine. You know, when you're in primary school, there's no massive level of judgment in primary school when you're all 10 years old. You know, you all just get on with it. You meet each other for face value. If you're a nice person, you're a nice person. So we could all take a leaf out of kids' books in that sense. Mm-hmm. I think it was when I went to secondary school, and I'm still like this now, and I always have been. I'm very much a people pleaser, and I like to fit in. And being mixed meant from even a young age, I was different, and I never would fit into one category. And I'm still like that now. You know, I go, I'm not black, I'm not white. I'm not masculine, I'm not feminine. I'm not, don't really know if I'm gay, but I'm not straight, I know that. So that's about as much clarity as I've got on anything. I never felt like there was a category that I would fit in perfectly, you know. And I think going to secondary school really heightened that for me, in terms of sticking out, looking different. You know, I think very quickly I just morphed myself into what was around me. So the school I went to had a fair amount of black people. I wouldn't say it was heavily white. It wasn't 50-50, that's for sure. But, you know, all majority of my friends were white. Actually, all of my friends, near enough all my friends, were white. So makeup, hair, all of those sorts of things. You know, I couldn't share makeup with any of them. They all shared each other's makeup. I couldn't. hair products, I couldn't share those. So I ended up, you know, straightening my hair and wearing foundation that was a bit too light for my skin and all of that sort of stuff. And, you know, school is where you find yourself, right? And actually what I did was I lost myself completely. I hung around with the popular kids who did all the bad shit because that made me, or at least I thought so, it made me cool. It made me someone that, you know, people would want to speak to and be friends with. And I wanted to be popular. I wanted to be liked. That is, I think, actually, the main thing is I've just spent my whole life wanting to be liked by people. Mm-hmm. And I would have done, I was doing whatever that took, you know, to get to that point. And yeah, I completely lost myself and who I was. So I mean, that was my only reason. I didn't have the thoughts of, oh, I'm gay, I need to suppress this. It was actually, I need to be like this and this and this, that made me lose that part of myself. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was just me, you know, that stopped myself from opening up and being real, because I was worried that, you know, people would say this about me or say that about me, which people are going to talk shit about you no matter what you do. Yeah. And I'm still learning. I still have days where I go, oh, but what about if someone thinks this? And I'm like, I have to properly sit and tell myself it doesn't fucking matter. It doesn't matter. And like I said, I still have moments and I have to go, hey, no, snap out of it. Forget about it. They're not important.
It's interesting. One of the things you said in there really jumped out at me was that it wasn't having a clarity on who it was or who it was you were and are and suppressing that. It was all the focus was just on trying to be whatever, you know, it was that you were seeing and were surrounded by. And that really resonates. And I think, you know, my own experience and other people I've spoken to, it's seeing something else as being aspirational. And so the focus is on trying to be that, do that. And so actually not having, therefore, not creating the space to be really clear about who we would just be if we were just ourselves. You touched on something else that's really interesting, is that I don't think we necessarily think about the number of challenges that youngsters face. And for you, there's an intersectionality piece, right? Mm-hmm. So because it wasn't just sort of your sexual orientation, but it was also, you know, you were a girl who actually more enjoyed what the world had depicted as male pastimes, but also your mixed race. And so each of those things has its own sort of challenges and resulting journey. And actually when those things collide, that's a lot.
Yeah, it was, you know, and more so now, you know, you see, gay couples on TV, black people on TV, mixed race people on TV and adverts, whatever. But even when I was young, and I'm not that old, but even when I was young, it wasn't quite the same, you know. I definitely felt like I have some memories, even at primary school, you know. I remember, this is one thing that sticks with me, and being in primary school, we had a talent show in year three. And I don't know whether this is where my lack of confidence comes from, because
amazing as ever,
it really sticks with me. I can picture all the teachers' faces. And I go on the stage, I'm about eight years old, right? And I did a dance to Sugar Babes, Push the Button, one of the best songs ever. But I remember the teachers laughing at me. It was one of those, like I said, I can picture their faces so clearly. And it's little things like that that happen that stick with you, you know. Mm-hmm. But like at the time, it wasn't so much of, oh my God, they're laughing at me. Oh my God, they're laughing at me. I'm embarrassed.
Yeah.
It's only the fact that it stuck in my brain. And as I've got older, I've realised, oh my God, they were laughing at me. And I was 8 years old in a talent show.
And it's interesting because I think sometimes it's only when certain situations come up, trigger a memory, and it's only at that moment, why is it just a connection, and say actually, so I clearly felt something then, I didn't have an awareness of it at the time, but faced with a similar situation, my fear goes back to that. And it's only then, I guess, you know, and at 8 years old, what can you deduce, you know, what are you able to do, even if you were to sit and think, you know, and ponder it. But it's the I guess the additional wisdom that comes with age, that you then look back and go, wow, yeah, that went straight over my head. I mean, you talked about it's not that you felt like you were walking around for years with this deep held secret that you were petrified to share with the world, but you were 22 when you came out to the world. And is there anything you would tell your younger self, or that you think might have changed that and you may have, you know, shared earlier?
I do think so, yes, in some ways. In other ways, I go, do you know what, it's hard. I have a lot of regrets from when I was younger, but you can't, you know, live your life regretting everything. But again, it's a lot of stuff retrospectively. When I look back, and I was thinking about this the other day, actually, it's so funny. If I look back, I probably had my first what we call gay panic at about 5 or 6, and a lot of any other gay people out there will probably understand this. You spend a long time going, do I want to be you or do I want to be with you? There's a very fine line between whether actually you admire someone and want to be like them, or you just want to be with them. And I remember, so I used to go, as you'll know, I used to go to Stagecoach, not for very long. But I was one of the younger ones, and there were obviously the group of older girls who were probably, I don't know, 16 to 18, right? But to me, they were like adults. They were proper grown-up adults. And this, again, is one of those things that sticks in my brain, and I would love to see a picture of my face at that age, because we were watching the older girls do a dance, and it was to All That Jazz from Chicago. Mm-hmm. So you can imagine it's kind of a cabaret style dance. And I remember genuinely staring at this one girl, her name was Roxy, staring at this one girl, not taking my eyes off her. I genuinely think I was like mouth open watching her dance. Like, and that I still remember. And I go, I think that was probably my first ever like, oh, I think I like you, but I'm not sure how I'm feeling.
Yeah.
Like I said, now I look back and I go, 100% that's what that was. But back then I just thought, oh my God, she's a great dancer. Yeah. I could watch you dance all day.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I had, you know, a few different situations like that throughout my younger years going into my teens that I look back and I go, yeah, that's exactly what, yeah, I think it's an, so yeah, I think it's funny because, yeah, I mean, I'd probably, if I could go back and tell my younger self, I'd be saying, this is what you're feeling. This is what you're feeling. Enjoy it. You know, like, just go with it, basically. Yeah. Just go with it. Just go with how you're feeling, what your belly tells you, you know. I'm getting butterflies watching someone dance, you know. That says a lot. So, yeah, I think that's the main thing I would tell myself, is just go with your gut, you know. Go with what your tummy tells you, and
not if then we're going to have 11.
But other than that, I wouldn't change too much, because it would completely change the course of my journey, and I don't think I would have learnt a lot of the stuff that I know now had I, you know, been openly gay from 13 or 14. You know, I had to make a lot of mistakes to get to this point, and you know, a lot of them, I would love to change them, obviously.
If you
know, you look back and go, I wish I'd have done that differently. I just wish that one thing, but that one thing would change the course of my whole life completely. So, you know, I'm here now and I'm living my life now. I try not to look back, but I've just got to look forward.
No, and you're right. And we talk about that a lot, right? And I'm similar. I look and I say, you know, it's that sliding doors thing. That's right. So yeah, the flag on the website, you know, 20 years ago, then today wouldn't be today. So if we're kind of good with where we're at, and I don't mean it doesn't have to be about success, but it's just kind of going good with who we are and where we are in our lives today, then you can't really wish to change anything that happened, because we just wouldn't be exactly where we are now if we did. So yeah. Well, it sort of links to, because my another question for me would have been, so how do you feel today about that journey? And you've got friends that will have had, you know, different journeys, right? So what's your kind of overarching view when you look back on that journey?
Like I said, you know, I mean, and I'm still very much on my journey. I've nowhere near hitting, you know, the finish line yet. I'm very much working on myself still.
We're here.
I'm not a big meditator, or I don't do a lot of like journaling, my gratitude. Like, I would love to be that sort of person, but it's not me. Mm-hmm. So I have, you know, I just spend time with myself, and I think that's quite important. But I'm trying to do more for me, and buy, you know, I spend a lot of money on clothes and shoes. I wonder where I get that from. But it's like buying things that I want, because I like them and I want to wear them. Whereas everything in my past and my journey to this point in my life has been, well, that person said they like those shoes, so I'm going to buy those shoes, because then they'll think I'm cool. Same with fashion trends. It's like, I don't keep up with fashion trends. I used to, like, even up till about lockdown, because lockdown was where I had the real, right, what I've been doing doesn't work for me. You know, being at home meant you only have, you're not around other people, so that I wasn't thinking about judgment from other people. Mm-hmm. So it just, it was a real clarity moment for me then. But up until then, it was wearing what I thought boys would find attractive on a night out, making sure that my best assets were clearly on show, posting lots of photos on Instagram, which were heavily, heavily edited, a lot of them. And if I didn't get a certain number of likes, that meant I was ugly. Lots of different things like that in my, when I look back on my journey, like, I just can't believe that was me, because it couldn't be further from what I am now.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know, elusive in that sense.
Yeah.
Because I still have a lot of like self-esteem issues. So I don't really post on Instagram because I don't take selfies. And you can ask any of my friends, I will not be in a photo, because I don't like how I look in pictures. And I've probably still got quite a long way to go till I get to a point where I can look at a picture of myself and go, oh my God, do you know what? Like, yeah, I look great in that. But I actually, it makes me feel a bit unwell a lot of the time when I look at pictures of myself. And not a lot of people know this, but I've cut all my hair off. So I have, you know, very, very short hair now. And I used to have hair down to my bum, long curly hair. And that was almost, I felt like getting rid of that, got rid of the old me, because people would see the back of my hair and know it was me. And that was the final piece of almost cutting off my past. It's, yeah, you know.
It feels almost like part of that. And I remember when you called and said, you know, I'm thinking of cutting all my hair off. And people might be surprised. I was like, do it.
Absolutely, but don't, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, do it. You know, it, one, it's only hair. So if you, mm-hmm. you know, I cut mine short years ago and almost immediately wished I hadn't, but it's only hair, right?
Yeah.
But it was also that it made sense, because it was about, it was almost like a, you know, restore factory settings, right? Yeah. And then go, right, and either you grow it back or you don't, but either way, you're doing that in light of your, you know, your, the new journey that you're on,
yeah,
rather than carrying something that very mm-hmm. much, yeah, to your point, had almost sort of defined you in yeah. the years leading up to that. And it's a quite an empowering thing as well.
Yeah.
Not to mention the practical benefits. And I remember for exactly. weeks, I could just wash my hair every day and it takes 2 minutes. And it, yeah. so, you know, there were some other upsides as well.
Yeah.
But that ultimate sort of recreation yeah. of oneself. And I love that. I love yeah. that.
Yeah. Just trying to, you know, like you said, redefine myself, start again, basically. And I remember watching Rihanna's music video for Take a Bow, which was in 2009. So I was mm-hmm. like 11, 12 years old. And I remember from that moment, I said, I'm going to cut my hair short when I'm an adult. And I'd said when I was 18, because I thought, well, that was 2020. I said, I'm going to cut my hair that short. You know, she had like a pixie cut and I was like, I'm going to do it. I will do it. And I've always said to myself, I'd do it. So it was one of those as well. My yeah. younger self, it is healing my inner child.
Yeah.
yeah. My yeah. younger, I've done it. And like you said, it's hair. If I don't like it, it will grow back. It'll take a while, but it'll grow yeah. back. But you know, I had everybody told me that they loved it and that it suited me more than they'd think. And I think it's another one of those things that goes with my masculinity and my femininity. You know, my femininity is not in my hair. My femininity is in my personality, but in the same way as my masculinity. It's not about the exterior. You know, I wear a lot more masculine style clothes now. But I'll wear them with a full face of makeup when I go out.
Yeah.
And eyelashes, right? And it's just about that balance. And it definitely depends on how I feel. Some yeah. days I can go full feminine. Some days full masculine. Sometimes I like a balance of both. And if everybody just embraced both sides of them, I think there'd be a lot less judgment
yeah.
in the world as well.
100%. Oh, well, thank you so much for sharing. I mean, it's been only this is a sort of mini version just yep. for Pride. And we've scratched the surface on a number of things. And I think definitely at some point we'll come back and do a full episode, because I think, it warrants more time. So in conclusion of this episode, Have you got a sort of Pride related song choice?
Yes, so I do actually. And I didn't mention earlier, but obviously TikTok blew up and people are going to think, well, they're happy for me. Then COVID up early in lockdown. And with that came this artist who she started, you know, she recorded videos of herself playing the guitar and singing covers and original songs on TikTok. Her name is Kat Burns. And she has, off the back of that, her career has gone through the roof. She's so yeah, I was trying to figure out a duet with Sam Smith, and obviously they are huge, right? But in the last year or so, she released a song called Free, and it talks about her journey to coming out. So it's just about that journey from it being something that you hold and, you know, and you keep in, and then you finally say it, and then yeah, reset to factory settings, you just start again and a whole new journey begins. So if you haven't listened to her music, I highly recommend. I'm not getting paid for this, I just highly recommend. she has an amazing voice. She's such, yeah. It completely changed the game. Yeah, Kat Burns, Free. That's the soundtrack to my life so far.
And actually, having listened to the song, some of the lyrics are just so apt, and so yeah, it makes absolute sense why that would be your song pick. And yeah, I love that. So Millie, or as lots of family call you, Milzo.
Yep.
Thank you so much. It's nice, as ever, it's a joy. And and every month is Pride Month in our house, so at risk of being the gushy mum, you know, not a day goes by I don't feel proud, and actually, in a sense, all the more so seeing you, you know, living your authentic life and embracing the journey. So thank you.
Thank you for letting me babble on about it.
You're welcome.
I love you.
I love you too.